Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to The Big Show, the weekly show from the British Tech Network, still not out there, the bagel's still showing up, which discusses the entire week's tech news and royally takes the mickey out of it. We've had an email this week from someone who said that the conversation that we had last week on the Prius was utter crap, unquote, and I've taken a bit of offence to that, saying everything we talk about is utter crap. If you haven't figured that out now, maybe it's time to move on, and they've decided to move on, so bye-bye, Bill.
I wasn't here last week, though, so it wasn't me sending the email.
I think it was me talking crap, though.
If you do want to write and complain about anything in the show, feel free. We're all right with that. Just do it politely, eh? Don't start calling people names and saying that utter crap exists.
Start your email, dear sir stroke madam.
There you go, I've had me moan. And as to the bloke who wrote the review on the photo show, don't even get me started on him. But I've found him. joining me for this fantastic...
Let's just say you won't be hearing from him anytime soon.
No, exactly. There's a freeway on top of him. He's going to go and date just too.
He's looking towards the door at the moment. Come on, man.
joining me to discuss the week in tech and inflame other listeners is a wonderful panel. Starting off with top left, Mr. James Hart. Hello, mate.
Well, how are you? After an intro like that, I'm not entirely sure I can really cope.
You always say my intros are crap.
I'm not saying crap, rather threatening.
No, I'm not threatening. No, not at all. Big pussy.
Anyway, yes, I'm okay. I'm tired after a busy, busy week, but it's almost at the end, and I can celebrate the near endedness of the week by talking crap about tech.
Good lad.
What could a man want?
The quality of this show's not high. I don't mind that. Next to him, you guys keep me up. You're ballast. Next to him, Steve Neighbour, chairman of the London Mac User Group. How you doing, mate?
Really good. How are you?
I'm excellent. We had a good night on Monday night. Oh,
hello, Mum. No, I'm busy, Mum. Thanks. Bye. I bought an umbrella in the last few weeks. I've never owned an umbrella before in my whole life, but the rain and weather is so rubbish. I've bought an umbrella.
Is it a lady one that fits in your bag and it pops up on a spring?
No, actually, I was borrowing my wife's, and I wasn't bothered at the fact that it was pink until somebody said, "Why have you got a pink umbrella?" I thought I should actually go and buy an umbrella now. But anyone who's not in the UK, it's just weather is shocking. It's just rained for about 3 years constantly.
Wait, did you say that you had never owned an umbrella before?
Well, no. I can survive normal life without an umbrella apart from the last 3 months where it's just rained constantly.
How do you get by without an umbrella?
Well, I don't walk very far to the tube. Get on the tube, get off the tube, walk over the road. That's the office.
The tube's a hole in the ground, Eric. So why? It's
some umbrella. I mean, umbrellas are crap anyway. They on a really, really gusty day, they just explode themselves. They're rubbish.
You want to see my super umbrella?
I went on to Amazon and spent £25 on an umbrella. She said, "You could go down to M&S and get one for £5." And I said, "I bet you can't." But I was wrong. So
now this is an umbrella, folks.
Oh,
is that Eric? Don't put the umbrella up indoors.
Bad luck to do that.
You live in lovely, lovely California, you know, the States. You don't need an umbrella. You're spoiling the whole magic of America now.
That's a golf umbrella. That is one of the least polite things to be. They are antisocial golf umbrellas.
Jesus, Eric, did they run out of black or something? it's so big we ran out of black material.
I know, it is so big. Well, and the reason is because, you know, I got it in college because I had to walk right around the campus. And so it'd be, you know, you get those Florida thunderstorms.
I'm just figuring
on the audio. Eric has decided to get his umbrella out, which is 5 meters wide.
There's a bloke walking.
I can host a convention under that umbrella.
There's a bloke walking around somewhere in California with like a wind sheeter on, and there's a big V missing out the back where they used it to finish off Eric's umbrella.
There's a marquee somewhere in Denver. Man.
If you're on audio, go ahead, James. My apologies.
I was going to say there's a marquee somewhere in Denver. They had to lose this whole section just to complete the umbrella. It is massive.
It is. It's huge. Pudge.
But to answer your question, Ewan, I'm fine apart from the weather.
Apart from the weather, no worries. Next to Steve, we have the our web our sysadmin, Sarah, head of technical development now.
Oh, yes, technical development.
It's all in the technical development.
From that, I suppose I should know something about technology, shouldn't I?
Allegedly. Good week.
I better go and brush up then, you know.
Good week. Good week.
But yeah, apart from the other day when I, in the rain, I managed to completely make trip over and virtually do myself some real injury. But I'm limping along. Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks.
If you hadn't, if you had an umbrella, that none of that would have happened.
Yeah, no, it's umbrella. Called running for a bus M&S. And missing it and going. I'm not going to say what I did, but because it's rude. But
oh, go on,
it involves going head over heels, shall we say? That's the polite version. make looking a complete idiot in front of loads of people.
Come on here, mate. That's what it's for.
And that's exactly it.
And last but by no means least, Mr. Eric Lanigan from Petaluma, California. How you doing, pal?
Well, nice and dry. No rain troubles here. We have plenty of umbrellas to suit us.
The weather's good.
In the
so he's the one with the umbrella, and yet he's the one that's not getting the rain.
But I am prepared. Better to be prepared than to be rained on. I don't know.
We've had a few reviews. There's quite a few of you have started giving us reviews in the iTunes store. Thank you ever so much to those that have. And I've got to say, I'm not reading out just the good ones. They're all good at the moment for the big show. Great British perspective on the week in tech news. Never miss it as a welcome change from the US-dominated podcasts that are out there. Thank you, John. And we had this show is great for us techies. Gives an alternative view on tech subjects. Great guests. There you go.
Hey,
And the host manages to keep them all in check. There's never any dead air, and the humour's always well needed. Thank you very much, that Gordon. If you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be very grateful. Thank you very much. They do make a huge difference to our rankings, and we can't do without them. The Week in Tech. Bad news this week. Blue Peter's going. It's got absolutely sod all to do with tech, but I just wanted to vent my fury at the fact that Blue Peter's going.
I would echo that.
I haven't watched it for 20 years.
I didn't know about that, and I'm actually put as a lifelong Blue Peter fan.
It's gone. It's no longer on mainstream TV, but it will be on CBBC, apparently, on digital only.
Oh, so. Right, yeah. I'd heard that they were moving all the children's programmes to CBBC, but I suppose,
My kids are graduating to that at the moment, so I look forward to watching that for the next 5 years of my life on constant repeat from Saturday morning through to late at night.
No, apparently it's still going to be made. Late at night. James, have you got something inside?
I was going to say, if your kids are watching CBBC, Horrible Histories is really the thing to watch. Absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
But, Blue Peter.
And Blue Peter. Well, Blue Peter hasn't been the same since the days of Biddy Baxter and her middle-class morals.
I agree.
Well, Blue Peter hasn't been the same because there's not been an elephant crapping on the floor since.
Oh, come on, that was about 1965.
I know, exactly. And that's what it's lacked.
The thing that really is rubbish about children's TV is Saturday morning TV. It used to be... used to be Whack-A-Day, Going Live.
It used to be Timmy Mallett, real quality and class.
But now, it's nothing. I don't know what they have in the States. Hey, what do kids wake up to and watch on a Saturday morning?
The same as us.
Rubbish. What do you mean, Barney and...
Yes, Eric, what do your kids watch on a Saturday morning?
You, my kids that I drive to soccer practice and pick up after school.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. At 23.
Yeah.
And they're 35 each.
So the best thing about
how did that happen?
Saturday morning programs used to be multicolored swap shop.
They said they were my long lost kids. I didn't want to question family, you know?
I never got upset when they canned Noel Edmonds, ever. So,
anyway, should we do some tech?
We haven't. Yeah, Hamaker Schlemmer are selling a flying hovercraft. Now, Hamaker Schlemmer are the people that have a book that goes on the airlines. They're like a mail order firm, aren't they, in the States, Eric? And for $190,000, you can have a hovercraft that flies.
So, is this something out of a James Bond film that wings?
It's something out of a catalogue on the back of a plane seat. There you go. If you want one, you can buy it. I'm tempted, I have to say, because $190,000 is only about £500. Two guys in Colombia decided to rob an internet cafe, so they burst in, acted like customers for a while, and then stood them up and took all their money. Unfortunately, one of them hadn't logged out of Facebook. So they went and caught him. I love this place. You can buy STDs, look.
Oh, yeah, on the right-hand side.
Which one's the expensive
STD?
Ones?
I don't know.
That's really a rubbish looking shop.
Hello, can I see the price list for STDs? Maybe the more serious
come to
ones.
To the back room, sir.
I'm sorry, I don't have enough for syphilis. I'll have gonorrhea instead. Fort Lee in New Jersey has banned texting whilst walking on the street. You can be issued an $85 fixed penalty ticket if they catch you. It's that serious. Apparently, and I can't stop laughing every time I think about this story and talk about it, they've had 3 fatalities associated with this last year. So it's a sensible law by all accounts.
I've just told off by my wife for using my phone when I'm walking.
Yeah.
For 2 reasons. 1, I'm going to hit something. And 2, I walk a lot slower.
I thought it'd be free.
Because I might hit something.
Be talking to her.
Talking to her on Twitter.
You're talking to her on Twitter while she's walking next to you. Yeah, exactly.
I'm joking.
She's looking at
shoes and that.
I've just got this thing of like
Pinterest.
I've got a Buster Keaton image in my head, though. Whenever I think about that story, I get a Buster Keaton or Harold Lloyd image in my head of someone disappearing down a manhole or something like that, and I can't stop laughing. But 3 dead people is not good. And Steve Ballmer has been voted by Forbes, or elected by Forbes, as the world's worst CEO. So he's in a bit of trouble. But the good news is, Steve, you've still got your looks and all your hair. Well done.
What about the Enron guy?
Yeah, he wasn't good, was he?
No.
I was thinking about the guy from HP as well.
Oh, Leo.
Or the guy from Yahoo that just quit because he claimed he went to high school and he didn't, or something stupid.
CV, apparently. Yeah.
I was going to bring up Yahoo. They haven't had a CEO for long enough for them to be really, really bad.
Jerry Yang?
I think it's simply the amount of, I suppose Jerry Yang, that's true, the simple amount of time. It's kind of like the area under the graph of Microsoft. It's just the whole, it's horrible, it's a mess.
Well, I mean, let's start off on that. I mean,
he's just been doing it for so long.
Is Steve Ballmer really that bad? I mean, if you look at Windows Vista, who was in charge when Windows Vista came along?
Gates.
When you look at the Zune, who was in charge when the Zune came along?
Gates.
Was he?
Yeah.
I like this game. Go on, next one.
Most definitely.
I know the answers.
No, most definitely. I mean, all the bad stuff that's happened has happened under Gates. What's Ballmer done? Ballmer's stopped the Courier, which seemed like a great move. He's bought Skype, which seems, I've got to say, Skype's performing pretty well. For us, it works brilliantly every week.
Well, my point, though, is I think that you're saying, because Bill Gates was still in the building, at least. He was on the payroll, but he was like a creative director of applications or something, right? He wasn't the CEO since, I think, 2000.
No, I think he was CEO. He was
CEO until a couple of years ago, and he's now non-exec chairman.
Yeah.
Oh.
Missy in the chat room is calling him the devil.
Oh, my arm. Wow. She doesn't agree with me. Are we talking... Is Missy talking about... Steve Ballmer?
I think that's probably actually a phrase that you could equally apply to both of them in Missy's estimation. I don't know.
Right.
Did you hear rumour on how much they're offering Windows 8 for, supposedly?
Oh, go on. How much?
Windows 8 Pro. So it's the Pro Edition. They are rumoured to be offering that for an upgrade price of?
$45.
$15.
$15
quid.
It's just a rumor at the moment. But the interesting thing is that's an upgrade price from if you have the lowest version of Windows 7, whatever version of Windows 7 you're on.
I don't think they're going to do that, though. I saw the same rumor. I think that'd be idiotic. I mean, they after over a decade, I guess, of having a professional version of Windows starting with XP that cost about, what was it, like $100 more than the base version of Windows, I think. Why would they then throw that away and say, oh, the separate product is just a $15 one-click upgrade? It's like, why bother with, why call it a whole different version of Windows?
Because Apple do charge a similar amount. And it's Metro. They want to move everyone onto Metro on the new UI to get everyone kind of working in that new way. If they don't encourage people to move over to Windows 8 to get them into that methodology, then there's going to be a hard sell for them to kind of get the marketplace in that new change. And why would people change if it wasn't attractive to them? And I'm not sure if the UI alone is attractive enough.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you've got a UI that you want to unify with the mobile experience and you want a transcendency across the mobile experience through from the desktop, then you have to get people into that. So if you're saying that $15 is a loss leader to get people into that walled garden, I still think it's fairly ludicrous, but I do see some logic in it. But, you know, the hard part is playing eggs for eggs with Apple is a stupid mistake because they make no hardware.
I mean, this rumor is not really a rumor. It's Paul Farrar, who's in bed with Microsoft Weekly, is one of the guys that's pushing this. It's not from people who are kind of not involved with the Windows or the Windows guys.
I'm confused what you're saying, though.
We can always blame Steve Ballmer.
It's $15.
Go ahead.
I didn't know what you meant, Ewan, that it's the price of the entry to the walled garden, because it's $15 for the difference between Windows non-pro and Windows pro, right? So you already paid $100 or whatever to get the Windows, and then it's just a little upgrade to get from that to pro.
This is an upgrade from 7 to 8, though, presumably.
Yeah, 7 to 8. From any
version.
It's any version of 7 to the pro version of 8.
Well, then I'm 0 for 2 today on the facts.
Yeah, utter crap on this show.
You don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Lanigan.
You should spend more time under a proper umbrella.
Well, I mean, that's a good rumour to put on the back of this. But let's go back to Steve Ballmer.
Yeah.
Is he really the worst? Because I've got to say, I don't think he is. I'm an Apple man. I've got everything Apple. I haven't used a Windows computer commercially for 10 years. But I have to say, you look at it objectively, you think, who was chief executive when a lot of the bad stuff came out? Gates. And what's Ballmer done? I'm not saying he's done a great deal that's super creative. Song Smith from Microsoft Research being one of those thoughts. But he's bought Skype. He's done those other things that we've just said. And Windows 8 looks, a lot of people are saying Windows 8 is a great methodology. You know, has Ballmer influenced that, or has he been sat behind and someone else has been all the creative stuff and he's just the guy that sat at the front who shared a room with Gates?
I think that he's been a caretaker CEO that didn't really have a vision for where the company should be. I think when he came into the office, he looked at their existing offerings and where their strengths are with Office and Windows and their server products, where everything was at that time, and just said, let's maintain this. And he didn't really have a strategy for the market that then evolved around Microsoft to sort of get into new markets that they were never in. He stayed in the same market and is just going to ride that desktop software horse until it dies.
Is that an unfair criticism? I mean, there's exactly that criticism in the chat room here. A couple of comments. 10X is saying Ballmer's atrocious. He's done nothing to add shareholder value in terms. He's completely missed the move to mobile. But you look at what he did with the Courier. He's kept them away from the Courier. He's kept them away from, I know they had the Kin and that kind of stuff, but, you know, sensibly he's kept them away from mobile handsets, which they've never really done and never done well. He's kept them away from tablets, let other people do the tablets. They just provide the software. Why is there a problem with sticking to what you're good at?
Also, just one thing we've missed is that he's done really well with the enterprise market. We've moved over to Microsoft SQL Server. SQL Server was not particularly reliable, but over the last few years, it's come of age. It really is. People would only use Unix-based databases or OpenVMS-based database, Oracle, but Microsoft SQL Server is being used for so much software as a service being delivered across the web now because it is effective, it's reasonably inexpensive for what it is, and it's reliable. It's better than it's ever been. And I've cornered that market.
Couldn't have said it better myself, James.
I mean, you look at SharePoint. SharePoint is widely used in
absolutely
organizations
love it.
And used very, very well. LiveLink, those kind of things.
There might be a little bit also. I can think of two things. One is I saw an article recently talking about Microsoft's failed products and how they seem to have attention deficit disorder. They'll start a certain product and then in a few months they're just gone from it. I think the article was referring to some kind of MSN service or media publication kind of service that they were jumping ship on. Just like how they had the Windows Live, they called everything Live, Hotmail Live, Windows Mail Live, and now it's back to Hotmail and it's back to Windows. I mean, Microsoft Passport's gone into like 10 different names. The Zune failed, Place for sure failed. There's a lot of stuff that they try that because they're so big, they can just try and they can fail and it doesn't really impact the rest of the company and the rest of their finances. But I think that's contributed to Microsoft seeming like they're uncool, seeming like they are followers instead of leaders, and just losing sort of that brand edge that Apple and Google and Facebook and others have really picked off and run with as being the future leaders, whereas Microsoft seems like they're just going to hold tight and keep their existing markets.
I mean, there's comments in the chat room here. Street Machine said, isn't SharePoint just the digital equivalent of the plague? I think that's really unfair because I use SharePoint on a regular basis for one customer to upload stuff to them, and it works very well. You've got check-in and check-out of documents. I mean, James, you've made a comment in the chat room that it's like Wave. It kind of is, but it kind of isn't because it's very, very good on the document control elements. It's a unified filing cabinet that everyone has access to.
There's some fantastic Bulma videos being Bulma. Is it Bulma? Bulma. I call him Bulma.
Who cares?
I quite like Bulma.
There's some fantastic Bulma videos being posted on the there's the Microsoft Win. Look for Bulma Windows 1.0 on YouTube, and I think it's probably it sounds like he's a salesman wearing a very bright very sort of colourful, not colourful, but very non-video friendly jacket. Brilliant.
If one really of our funny. Best comedians, the world's best comedians, did an impression of a car salesman turned up to 150 or 11 on the dial selling a computer, Barmer wouldn't quite meet, would be better than that impression of how rubbish
amazing he is.
Sarah, you've been very quiet, mate. What?
Yeah, I'm you know, I think everyone knows. I feel like it's a bit like when you guys are a bit like me sitting here spouting on about Apple and saying how bad they are and stuff like that. I'm a huge Bill Gates fan, and I've seen a different side to Microsoft in the last couple of years, and I think that they're far more interested in the corporate market than they are in the consumer market. And I think if you don't see that side of it, if you don't have any exposure to that, then you probably won't necessarily see that. And I know on a number of times on this show, I've actually defended Apple because everyone's been talking about the consumer side and forgetting about the corporate side. And I think Steve Ballmer seems to have done a fairly good job in developing that area.
It's a fair point. You know, he's why are you criticizing him for not trying to be Apple? They've never been Apple. They've never been anything like Apple in terms of what they've done. And Apple, we've spoken on this podcast many times and on the Mac show that Apple are dominating the consumer market. That's all they want. They've stepped away to a certain degree from enterprise. They're not interested in it. And there's almost like they've had a little backroom meeting. They've had a divvy up of the territory, and Microsoft will go, right, you leave enterprise alone and we'll do that, and we'll leave consumers alone and you can have those.
Because there is one exception to that, Ewan, and that's the iPad. I see the iPad coming into corporates a lot more because it's the tool that it provides and the ease as a front-end user device.
But Apple aren't driving it into the corporate market.
No, I don't think they are. I don't think there doesn't seem to be any particular desire to do that. But I think businesses, quite understandably, are seeing this device and thinking, yeah, we can use this as a great front-end device for particularly a lot of people that are not desk-based. If you've got managers and stuff that are going to meetings a lot, it's a perfect tool for that sort of thing.
I'm going to be careful what I say now.
Go on.
But I can completely agree with Sarah's last point. And I think Microsoft have got to move quickly with their tablet and software offerings in the mobile work environment to keep up with users' demands away from the workplace to kind of deliver what the user knows is possible.
Very careful.
I think
that was maybe a little bit too careful, Steve. but I was also going to say the Zune. I don't know if I mentioned Zune. .net. Silverlight, Bing. Rumors are they want to sell off Bing now, possibly to Yahoo, because they realize that what are they doing in the search engine business? How about their move into advertising? There was a time, remember when they partnered with Dig? Microsoft went, and I think they are still big partners with Facebook, going hugely into advertising, having an advertising network, trying to diversify, but not really having a particular direction. You know, it's tough. They do have some good products, but I don't know. I think it's true that they've tried to go off in many different directions, just kind of throwing things at the wall to see what sticks, and not many have stuck.
But if you consider the times, well, yes, you're absolutely right, but they are a very large company. The people who the agile companies, and I think we've probably seen this with Google to an extent, the agile companies are the startups, the new ones, the ones who can sort of zip and change direction and come up with a really good product.
Microsoft Microsoft Tablet PC.
Yeah, carry on. I'll respond to that by thinking of the Simpsons episode where there was the... do you remember the Simpsons episode where Bill Gates comes into the Simpsons house and smashes everything up? You see, that Ballmer can't be held responsible for that kind of reputation. The fact that there was all these allegations of people of Microsoft stealing other people's ideas and all the ones you've cited, I guess, have been kind of that. I just thought Kinect, though. Kinect was brilliant and is brilliant.
They've made
some mistakes, but I think on the whole, they've made some progress.
I've heard people are being disappointed by Kinect.
So go ahead, sir, Eric.
I've heard people are being disappointed by the Kinect. There have not been many games that came out for Kinect, and they're having the same problem with the Wii, which is it seems to be a novelty for very imprecise kind of party games or have your friends over and just say, hey, look at this, and we'll play this for 15 minutes, and then we'll get bored with it and move on. And the Kinect is not keeping the hardcore gamers and is not doing for their... It's not pushing hardware and sales the way that their hardcore titles are.
I think you'll be careful, though, because Kinect is not a Microsoft product in the truest sense, because it's a development from an outside agency, and if the outside agency has failed to drive that forward and the SDK has not been readily available for developers because of the outside agents, then the purchase of Kinect has been very, very good. It's an insightful thing for them to do, and it does work very well when it works. This is the thing, you know, there's comments in the chat room about the tech support for Windows not being bloody awful. There's an awful lot of problems with Windows that aren't Windows problems. They're caused by the third-party application. They're caused by the third-party device, the third-party driver. It's not the core operating system that's at fault.
Yeah, most blue screens of death in Windows XP were caused by dodgy drivers written by third parties, not Microsoft.
Yeah.
I don't think...
I mean, there is still something to be said for these... Sorry, Steve.
No, Come on.
One of you.
Okay, I was going to say, there's something to be said for the number of security flaws which are constantly being found in Microsoft products, but I think that's something which is endemic, really, isn't it?
Popularity driven. Go on, Steve, your point?
No, I was going to say, I think Kinect, if we really got to the full strategy of Kinect, that it wasn't really going to transform the hardcore gaming industry. It was a product that they probably made a lot of money on because it was hardware that Microsoft were selling directly. And they were selling it to, even though they sold a few games with it and people didn't play with it 6 months later, they sold a lot of hardware very quickly and they probably made quite a killing on that. So it probably ticked the strategy that they were going for.
I think that's echoed by the comment that from DT in the chat room. Microsoft have done quite well, really. They've made a lot of money for a long period of time. If that's what the job of being CEO is, then probably he's done okay.
I will say one good thing in defense of Steve Ballmer, and that is if what people are complaining about is the stock price being fairly immobile for the last decade or so, I don't really think that's his fault. I've heard the people say Microsoft stock very undervalued relative to their performance. I think stock price mostly gets set by the perceived hotness and buzz around a company and in the consumer space. And I don't think I don't think their stock price is an accurate reflection of their current value as a company.
Well, can I just say something about that, Eric? I mean, this may be way off the mark, but I always think that technology moves so fast that if a company can maintain a stock price for that length of time, a constant level, that in the tech industry, that is actually a huge achievement, because the industry moves so fast, it's easy to go up and down and to peak and then to drop again. But to actually maintain it for that consistent amount of time, for what is it, 20, 30 years, that is one hell of an achievement.
Yeah, you know, that may be the difference in ideology, though, right there. That is exactly true. I think Ballmer is a good CEO to maintain the business of selling to businesses. I think he kind of runs it like an insurance company or like a big institution company, like an IBM that just sells to big business. And we know the pace that big business moves at, it's drastically slower. They're still running XP, for crying out loud, in a lot of corporate offices. So if you look at it that way, as something is just like a B2B company, then yes, stability, just that flat line, is exactly what you want to see over time. But that is opposite. That would make Microsoft unique in the fast-paced high-tech stock game.
But it's so, I mean, the thing is about tech companies is that if you're an insurance company or whatever, you know that you're going to get roughly the same amount of revenue every year. You haven't got to do anything for it. Okay, you're going to lose some clients, you're going to gain some clients, but it's fairly constant. In the tech industry, you can just plummet like a stone within a year.
Mm.
And it is hard to stay at that level.
I think just looking at the share price, when Gates finished, it was $78. 2 years later, it was $20. The current price is $30.
Yeah, I think there's a point from 10X in the chat room. Sarah, they lost because the share value has remained unchanged for years versus the inflationary increase. So, you know, okay, that $20 to $30 is eaten up by the fact that the inflation has increased far faster than that. But the point that Eric makes there is that, you know, and he's right, that the stock market is not about value. The stock market is about expectation. And no one sits and looks at Microsoft and expects them to do anything revolutionary. You'll get small blips when they get operating system changes, or you get, you know, announcements of purchases or something like that. You'll get little increases and decreases, but generally it wobbles along with a steady increase. Whether that increase has been fast enough for shareholders or not, it certainly wasn't fast enough for Forbes, it would seem, this week.
And Facebook is the
IBM.
Yeah.
Sorry. And Facebook is the perfect example of a company whose performance and their revenue it doesn't come close to Microsoft as a solid, well-performing company with longevity as an insurance policy. And yet they just, what did Facebook do this week? They increased in value from, I think, $76 billion back to about $105 billion. So they just gained like about $30 billion just because of just wild speculation and news reports.
And I tell you,
and what, the wearing of hoodies.
But that's
I tell you what, Facebook will be gone long before Microsoft ever do.
Absolutely. But that's the problem with the stock market. People want to invest quickly to make money quickly to then bail out. And that's why Facebook will make a lot of money for people very, very quickly, and then it'll be gone. And that's where the tech bubble comes from. And
interestingly enough, with the Facebook IPO, is that a lot of the people that are actually bailing out were the initial investors. They're taking their money and running. That, to me, says an awful lot about how they feel about that stock valuation.
Very good. Facebook have been in the US and UK court. There is a UK woman who is seeking to get Facebook to court so that she can uncover the identity of anonymous users who have been attacking her on the social network. Nicola Brooks, who's now very famous and going to be attacked by the world and his wife probably, is a 45-year-old Brighton resident who's not against Facebook itself, but she's been persecuted by a few people on there that she can no longer find the identities of, and she's going to try and force Facebook to give up their data. Should Facebook give up the data? Should they give up the identity?
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
I would say that a criminal offence has been committed of harassment and...
If she can prove a criminal offence, totally agree.
I mean, this is an interesting point, I think, for social networks to have to address, because Twitter has refused to give out tweets. They say they're the property of the user, they're not their property, so they won't give them out without a court order or the authority of the end user. And Facebook is possibly doing the same thing here, saying that people's identities are secret, they're their own, and they can't give them out to anyone and everyone. Does social networking now need regulation, or is this, you know, people are going to start screwing net neutrality?
That just hiding behind data protection, though?
I think it is. It's a smokescreen.
I think a big difference has to be whether they were committing the act by using the social network to antagonize someone. and target them versus whether it was incidental. I think that was the thing with Twitter. They wanted to get access to the people's deleted tweets in order to arrest them for protest-related things in the real world. I think they were blocking the Brooklyn Bridge or something, staging an Occupy protest. In that case, there were also things overseas with the Middle Eastern protests from the last couple of years. So in that case, it was protesters of a different sense, and they just happened to be organizing through Twitter, whereas if it's a anonymous sort of cyber bully, I think that's a different case.
There could be an opposite view on this.
Go on.
Let's say just a random person, or say maybe my wife, she might say, well, why doesn't it just turn the computer off?
Well, I think you've got to be very careful here, Steve, because, I mean, there's a comment from Missy in the chat room saying, why can't she just block these people? But just to quote the story here, she offered a supportive comment on an X Factor singer's page and was immediately pounded with accusations of paedophilia and death threats because she left a supportive comment. Now, that problem is that she can block those people, but that doesn't block their right to talk on a forum about her and commit something which is clearly defamation. That's the issue. It's not just about switching it off and going, oh, I'm going to go and hide under the covers here. And I've got to say, you know, I stand myself out every week to be open for ridicule and abuse by doing three of the shows on this network, as everyone else does who does a show. And once in a while, some twat comes along and writes something and becomes a pain in the ass. And no matter how hard you try and get away from them, if they're intent, they just follow you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Apart from, I've got to shut down the Gmail account, and I've got five or six other Gmail accounts that they can get to me. I'm a public figure, if you like, to a degree. I'm not doing this because I want to be famous, not by any stretch. But
this is the issue. It is because anybody who participates on a social network is publishing things. And if you look at the amount of bile that gets posted in the Daily Mail comments pages, you know, people have a massive amount of hate, and all it takes is for them to jump on one person. And you see these examples of cyberbullying that can take all kinds of really horrible and quite terrifying forms. Facebook isn't unique in that. I mean, there is a seedy underbelly pretty much to almost every single social media system, except potentially Google+, because nobody really uses it.
Zing!
Zing.
I have users that work that come to me and say, oh, we want to start a forum for this and that. And I say to them, okay, so are you going to moderate it then? And they think, oh, okay, well, I shouldn't need to do that. And it's like, we all know that, you know, any successful forum eventually will deteriorate into just a complete bloodbath or a complete mess of spam and whatever, if you allow it. And the whole point is that you actually need to moderate that. That's the key to success here. And obviously, I'm pretty confident that when it comes to Facebook, it's like anything goes. Pretty much anything
Unfortunately,
goes.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's very difficult. They were saying that they should be slapped and snapped.
Yeah,
it's very difficult to slap people on digital media, because all that often does is serve to encourage them, because it gets them even more angry, and it literally encourages them to grab hold even tighter. It's horrible when that happens to you. And
I get two emails a week which are critical of something on the network. Either we're not on Stitcher, which we are this week now. Everything was sent in a couple of weeks ago, but apparently we're still not showing. That kind of stuff. And they aren't pleasant to receive. You open them up in the morning, you come down a bit bleary-eyed, and you're trying to do the stories for the news show, and then some twat writes something that really is pointed and offensive, and it gets very difficult then to ignore that for the rest of the day, and it follows you. You can't get away from it. And like I say, I've had one person who's taken it to an extreme, and they've been doing it for a year now. And I've taken some measures, and thanks to Jodamax, I'm now well aware of how to deal with someone like this.
I think the thing is with this sort of thing is that I don't know whether it's just me, but I get the feeling that people think that, oh, if I type this in here, oh, it's gone. It's no longer my responsibility. Whereas if you actually face to face with somebody, they probably wouldn't say that.
Yeah, that's true. And
it's,
also,
it's the disconnect between, you know, whether it's an email or whatever. Once it's sent, I've forgotten about it, you know. You know, I haven't got to meet that person, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I can say what I like. Or they're not even thinking about it. And I swear that is a lot to do with the reason why things like this happen, whether it be via email, whether it be on Facebook or whatever.
And Sarah, this... Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go on. Finish it.
Oh, well, Sarah, this may have been what you were getting at before when you were talking about the forums. I wasn't sure, but I think, do you see the irony here that people want, you know, all these websites are turning their open, their formerly wide open comment section into a Facebook login process in order to, quote, civilize the discussion on the page. But if Facebook is having the same kind of cyberbullying and targeted bickering and stuff, then does that provide any benefit at all?
No.
Hmm. Well said.
It's probably but just the way that they can distance can't... themselves from it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, unless you do everything as in certified real name, almost like your national insurance number or a unique identifier that identifies you as a person, civilized discourse will always be spattered with this bile, unfortunately.
But this is why moderation is the only way to make something successful and keep it successful.
But moderation is expensive, and actually, it's actually, effective moderation is a really skilled job.
You say moderation, Sarah? Do you mean specifically by a human?
Yes, I do. Mm. I don't think there's a machine out there that can actually do it totally effectively.
Unfortunately, also moderators get absolutely frustrated with having to do it and stop doing it after a while because it's not a pleasant job at all.
No, it isn't. It's a horrible job.
It is like trash collection.
Yeah, imagine
if you get the wrong side of somebody you're moderating, they will make unbelievable threats to you. It's horrible.
Yeah. Imagine think about what Ewan was saying just now about the fact that, you know, he comes down to this unpleasant email. That as a moderator, that's what you're doing all the time.
Right, you're just trolling through the. You're wading through the crap, basically. Yeah. I saw an article a while ago. I remember reading that people whose job it is to sift through this stuff. I think it was they interviewed like people who moderate for YouTube or some big site whose job it is to review the videos that get flagged for inappropriateness or something. Is someone the human beings who have to sit there and judge whether things that had gotten flagged, whether it was a comment or a video itself or whatever the content was or whatever the page was. They said it's a very depressing job because they're just reading through all this vile hate speech and these sick, disgusting descriptions or videos. And that's their whole job, just day after day, thousands of those a day.
Mm. There you go. I think people have to be unmasked, to be honest, wouldn't they? But I've got my own secret weapon.
That's the point. It's going to be interesting, though, because this process, I think, has only really existed in human culture for the last 10 years, has it? This online...
What process?
Well, the kind of...
being a toss has been around people. A while.
I know they have, but the anonymous way that you can now do it online and people choose to do it online is a new thing in human culture.
That's
do
the whole point.
Do it completely anonymously. So we're only just starting to evolve to this. So it'd be interesting to see which way our culture goes, whether we learn to accept it, whether it becomes more prolific, whether it gets reduced. Be interesting.
You know, there is a big, the biggest cultural shift, not to, I know you're trying to change subjects, Ewan, but I think that one of the biggest cultural shifts that we've seen between the 20th century and now, you know, within the last 100 years, we've seen the media and the culture across all media and everything that you think of as culture go from a prescriptive sort of, we will have TV shows and movies that portray good role models. We want people to act this way. You know, you look at the old film strips made for kids in the 40s and 50s, and you know, we laugh at them because they seem just so didactic but all those kind of things, you know, like Leave It to Beaver and just like these kind of shows where it was like they would not do things that they thought would set a bad example for the public. Whereas now, I think one of the issues has been look at reality shows. Now it's the most trashiest, most scandalized people they know that that's what gets ratings. It's now chasing the ratings.
That's tragic, but then, isn't it?
But then extend that to the internet, and what we have now is just the filter's been taken off. Right? It's like
the only
people
one
could
is
always
Facebook.
That's a good point.
People could always write in anonymous letters to, say, a magazine or a newspaper, and they could write it in anonymously, but there was at least that filter. There was an editor sitting there saying, should the public see this or not? Is this right to publish in our paper? Whereas now, you hit send, regardless of your qualifications or how many people actually like what you have to say, it's public, it's published.
Mm. True.
I think a general rule with things is, particularly whether you're sending it on email or whatever, is you should never post anything or say anything on an email that you're not prepared to say to some to that person face to face.
You see, you say that though, Sarah, but I don't think the there was a comment posted in the chat room actually, which was a fair one. We've been saying things like "be nice" or "get out," but there was this argument, wasn't there, that there should be an alert button where people were being inappropriate when there was cyberbullying taking place, and the social websites don't want to. They're not interested in that kind of you know, that kind of care of people. They don't care about the users enough to protect them and give them the tools they need to be able to defend themselves against these low life. It's a real shame.
There we go. I've had my bit.
Interesting subject.
UK ISPs are being told by Ofcom that they have to be more transparent about their range of speeds available. A activity has gone on, a mystery shopper exercise, if you like, by Ofcom's gone on, and only 41% of the sales calls have actually invited or offered a range of speeds available on the network. The entire list of ISPs in the UK signed up to a voluntary code of conduct last year, saying that they were going to give potential customers their likely maximum speed in the form of a range as early as practical in any sales process that was taking place. It's and they're still, not doing it.
It's still voluntary. The only way this is ever going to work is if ISPs actually have, as part of the contract, saying, in tests, at your location, it appears that we can get around this figure before the actual sales process is complete, and make it absolutely mandatory so people know what they're getting.
I mean, this is a voluntary process. Sarah's exactly right there. But yeah, I mean,
Ofcom need to grow some teeth on this.
Absolutely, no question. But I mean, the fact that 41% of them didn't means that 59% of them did. I had trouble with the maths there for a second. So 59% is good, I think. No?
Still not good enough.
I mean, the speeds that they offer may be complete bull, but at least they did. Eric, what have you got in the States for speed claims and that kind of stuff? Because we've got the Ofcom and we've got the Advertising Standards Authority, who, if someone makes a ridiculous claim, can step in and say, nope, take it down. You're not allowed to say that. I mean, is there an advertising standards agency in America, or can you say what you damn well like?
I think that... Oh, well, in general, there is. Yeah, you have to deal with the FTC if you make a false claim, although there's so many ways to get around that. I don't think anyone's been... you know, you can pretty much false advertise any way you want. There are so many loopholes and linguistic ways to dance around that. But in terms of the broadband speeds, I saw a report a while ago. It was like from Pew Internet Research, some big polling company found out that a lot of people just simply do not know what speeds they're getting for their home internet. They just have no clue. And I think they found that the correlation between advertised speeds and actual speeds were no different than they were in other parts of the world. The difference with Americans is they didn't know and didn't care. And I think that comes from the utter lack of competition. They know their only choice is their cable provider, maybe their phone provider, depending on where they live. And so once they've said, yes, I want internet versus no internet, they're just choosing based on the pricing tier. And they don't really know what that speed gets them either way. And it's not to make a decision between competitive providers.
Mm.
Helps them choose a package within the same provider, I guess, is the point.
Any ideas on how people can be held to account, or how they could make it more transparent about whether they're good or bad on speed, what their ranges are? Because, I mean, I think quantification is the big issue, surely.
We've been having this for years, though, haven't we? This whole argument. I mean, the speeds have been, yes, the speeds have been going up, but the fact is we are still limited by old hardware running to the house and the distances from the exchange. And it's going to continue like that because nobody can really guarantee anything unless they've laid the cables to your door, as Virgin Media do. And they do a damn good job of it. And so I think either people should be educated not to believe all the bull that's talked in these adverts. And let's face it, there are some things which are slightly dodgy, a little bit beside the truth. And there are some things which are complete lies, as in this vacuum cleaner won't suck up your cat. Or, and it does, therefore it's quite a dangerous thing if you like cats. And, oh, your broadband speed's going to be really good. Oh, no, it's not going to be quite as good. I don't think it's a major thing at all. I don't know what all the fuss is about, to be honest with you. If you're going to get crap broadband, you're going to get crap broadband from anybody because you're too far from the exchange. What I don't want to see, for example, are limits where if you run out of data, you get 2 gig a month. That to me is the real bad thing. And we're very lucky in the UK where on the whole we don't have broadband limits on our to the house broadband. And okay, so it may be a bit slow at times, but at least we get to use as much of it as we like, do we?
Oh, Virgin actually stipulate what their throttling policy is, which is very
throttling,
good.
But they don't stop you using it. They don't charge you extra after your monthly allowance.
No, they just cut your speed by half after.
They have fair use policies, which is okay, and I'm happy with that because, well, as long as my boy doesn't start downloading massive Steam games, because at least it maintains the broadband speed. But if they start adding stuff on your bill because you're going over as particular limits, I believe they do in the States. That's where I think there are problems. And I think I have more of a problem with the cellular providers doing what they're doing and making massive amounts of money, I guess, because they haven't got the infrastructure, and a slight bit of advertising, what's the word? Bullsh. I can't. That's yeah.
Bullsh.
Bull in the in the papers and on, yeah, bull spit. On advertising hoardings and papers. Well, the great thing about it, of course, is it turns into a bit of a battle of words because Virgin Media will come back and say, you know, all these guys, they're talking what Missy would say, but I can't say that either, can I?
It's bullshot.
No, but that's the point.
Bullcocks.
Virgin Media actually do deliver on what they promise to all intents and purposes. I mean, until my cable modem crapped out last Friday morning, I was getting 102 megabits a second on a 120 meg packet, and I wrote in and complained, where's my other 18 meg? And they wrote back saying, I'm sure tech support might help you find it. And as soon as I got my new broadband modem this week, I plugged it in and fired it up, and before you knew it, I was getting 115 down. They actually provide what they say they're going to provide. And now, the package is genuinely unlimited.
Now, what do you download at that speed, though, Ewan? Because one of my biggest complaints about my internet connection, I got 23 megabits from Comcast, which is nowhere near 120 or whatever you just said that you have, but I actually pay $100 a month for that ridiculous connection and because of where I live.
That's more than I pay.
I know. We don't have the competition. We have terrible speeds. But even though I have that, I very rarely hit that 23 megabit. You know, I've got that iStat menu that I keep in the top right of my screen at all times, and I watch the connection. And very rarely, when I'm downloading a file from even a big server like a YouTube or a Google or like an Akamai or a server that should be giving me full speed, or from Xbox Live downloading a game or something, they give it to me at a trickle. I can barely watch YouTube sometimes. I can barely watch Netflix sometimes, and my bandwidth is not at all saturated. I downloaded something from a Dragon dictation program the other day as a trial, and it ended up billing me twice. I had to call and complain and get it reversed because they tried to make me download it like 600 kilobits a second. They said, oh, you'll get it in 45 minutes for like a couple of megabyte of a package. So I don't know what this phenomenon is, but I think a lot of hosts and businesses are still ridiculously throttling their own uploads to the customers.
I am, just for the people listening, I suppose, I was on 10 meg with Virgin on cable. Downloading films, Apple TV or Netflix would be sometimes about an hour and a half pause before I could watch it. They upgraded me to 30 meg and it's straight away now being able to watch it. So that was a nice step for me from 10 to 30.
I think the thing as well is, I don't download anything that pulls 120 megabits a second anyway, but the difference is being able to have five Skype lines open and a broadcast out to the net without sapping it. It's the diversity across the feeds that's important. And also, you can start downloading three or four files off the net from three or four different servers, then all of them come down equally fast because actually it's the server at the opposite end that's throttling you, not you. You're not the problem. So that's the problem, is, you know, or that's the beauty, is I've got four or five computers here. I've got a wife on a laptop with the kids playing Flash games from Disney Club or something like that, or Nickelodeon, and it never slows down. I can sit and do the shows, and if they switch the computer on, doesn't make any difference at all.
What's your upload?
Upload, I get 10.
I think I get 1.5.
Sorry.
The thing is, though, Ewan,
yes,
you're not typical.
No,
how
I'm
many
not.
Other people in your area really need 100 megabit, 120 megabit?
I don't need it, but it's just I got it.
Look at this. Yeah, My bandwidth is actually lowering itself while I'm complaining about it.
It is. You said the Comcast word. You see, that's it. You say Comcast, and they throttle you. They can
look at that.
You.
It's horrible. It's horrible. I'm down to like 10 pixels tall.
It's pixelated,
you're
Eric.
You're sounding okay, though. You're sounding all right.
You are a kaleidoscope. Drummer in the chat room is complaining because he only gets 0.2 megabits a second up. That's nasty. That really is nasty. But bad luck.
That's poor Skype conversation, isn't it, really?
That's terrible.
This podcast and all the others are brought to you by Virgin Media if you're watching live. But if you're not watching live, they're brought to you by UK2.net. They are the people that keep us afloat. They are fantastic and dandy. I hope I'm going around the Marussia factory with them a week on Thursday, which is going to be fantastic. I'll bring you all a baseball cap back. And hopefully we might have a few goodies.
And it's going to annoy them
We might have a few goodies to give away after that trip. If I get anything. So. And they're great. They look after us. We've had a few beers with them of late, and they've got some new offers and that kind of stuff. If you want to enter a competition, then there is a business VPN service or VPS service. Sign up for the Office VPS service. One sign up gets you one entry in the competition, and you can win the trip around the Marussia factory. There's a few customers going around in a prize draw with it. So check out the UK2 website. If you want to check out the UK2 website, make sure you use our click through. Now, like a lot of places, if you want to get a Domino's pizza, you can go online and find a voucher code that's active and just put it in. And that's the trouble, is that there's people that are doing that now with Bagel Tech, British Tech rather. They're finding the codes and they're putting them in at a random. So we're not getting credit for them, but we do get credit for ones that are linked when people have gone through the link on our website. So please go to our homepage. Please click on the UK2.net logo. Go through with the tracking link, and then when you spend the offer codes, we get the benefit, or we get the kudos for having sent you. We don't get any money from it, but all you've got to do is write in British Tech, and then you add domain if you're buying a domain, and you get 20% off. You DNS if you want, and that takes away the DNS management charge. VPS, VPN, all of those kind of things. That's it. That simple. Type them in as many times as you like, and see what the shopping basket does. They'll keep coming down if there's things in there that are applicable. We'll get a page up with them on. I know I promised it last week, but I had no internet, unfortunately, so we'll promise we'll do it this week. Thank you, UK2. Be lost without you. Right then. Have we got any cool things, Mr. Hart? Would you like to start us off?
Yes, I do. In fact, funnily enough, I'm going to have to look through my Twitter favourites because I nicked this off one of my fine people who I follow. Let me just get to my profile page. It was Andy Lee at Lomball on Twitter. It's something called OpenSignal. It's, if you're wandering around, and it's quite an anoraky little thing, but it tells you where your cell towers are, your signal strength, and it gives you a map, and you can also do a very quick speed test of your 3G connection. So it's called OpenSignal, and it's quite cute. I don't know whether it's any use to anybody. But it'll certainly give you an opportunity, for example, if you're on the margins of a coverage, which way to walk to get yourself a better signal. So, yes, OpenSignal. And it's an Android app, and I quite like it. Although it's it says there's a cell tower just outside my house, which it's clearly lying about.
You never
have
know.
Have a play. That's true. There might be one in my daughter's bedroom. She might be...
Well, no, it might be the lamppost. The one at the end of our street is also a lamppost, but in it it's got cellular components as well.
That's amazing, isn't it? So yes, have a bit of an anorak, have a bit of a play with it if you've got an Android phone, and it's free, which is, you know, it doesn't cost anything, and if you don't like it,
you don't have
to play with it. Yeah, we do.
But it's Android only. There's other ones that you can get for iOS, but that's an Android only one, yes. Mr. Neighbour, what have you got for us?
I've got an iPad game this week, which is £4.99, which is quite a lot.
Ouch.
But it is called Nova Free, and it is a first-person shooter, and it is literally written for the new iPad, and it's absolutely amazing in terms of the quality of graphics and gameplay for the iPad. This thing is like Modern Warfare 3, which is retails at £29, I think, if you have a good deal.
But
this thing's £4, and it's absolutely stunning in terms of gameplay and quality of graphics. Good game.
It's kind of like a Halo clone, isn't it? I think I've played not maybe Nova 3, but one of the older Novas for iPad or iPhone.
Yeah, it's very similar to Modern Warfare, Halo, that type of thing. It's got a campaign. It's also got multimedia. It's spot on. It's incredible. And it'll link into where you might find me as well. So I'm going to mention my gaming tag later if anyone wants to come and kick me.
And it's got that mode also with the accelerometer. I don't know if the iPad has this, but I know the iPhone. If you want, you can turn on, instead of aiming via thumb, you can aim by moving your phone around in space. And it uses that orientation on gravity to actually aim the character.
If I did that on the tube, I'd hurt people.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
How is first person shooting gaming on these things? Is it rewarding? Do you end up tilting it away because you can't see the screen?
The problem that they did have originally was that even on the PSP actually was that it just had one thumb control, so you could only really control your direction and shooting with one thumb. But because you got both thumbs on there, it's pretty good.
And it's got a nice big screen.
The control experience is not as good as an Xbox controller, but it's not bad at all.
You don't find yourself inadvertently waving it around the place, because I imagine that would probably happen to me.
I haven't yet, but then you'd probably get lost in this game and you wouldn't notice.
That's true. Oh, I'm actually going to say
my zone out of conversation in a few minutes is because I'm playing this now.
That's the end of that then. Good night, Steve.
That's him gone.
Ms. Gray, what do you have for us?
I don't actually have one this week.
Oh, blimey. Okay, then. It's all right. Mr. Lanigan, what do you have?
I'm going to break my streak. You know, I've had like 5 good weeks here of cool things. And this one is so sad because I thought I was going to have a really great cool thing. Or I should say a very cool thing. Or a very
cool thing.
But I lost it. And so my cool thing is a cry for help. It's, please, if anyone knows the name of this app, I want to know what this app is called. It was in the Mac App Store. It was a cross-platform new app. I swear the logo, I can picture it. It was a rectangle like all iOS icons are, but it was in the Mac App Store. And it was just an orange H, just the letter H, just unadorned sans serif, I think. And it was a time management app, which I could definitely use. And it tracks your time across all your platforms. So it's great for invoicing. It's great for personal chores, to-do lists, all these wonderful things that I can't use because I don't remember what the app is called. I literally spent I don't know how long, but I did look for this before the show began and I was searching for it. I even did a Google image search based on the graphic and the orange characteristics of the H logo. Cannot find it. It's multi-platform. It was free to download, but then you pay a subscription fee. It's a new kind of pricing model for this kind of time tracking app. You pay a subscription to then synchronize it and sync it up also with work groups and maybe within your office, or maybe you pay in order to have the invoice and billing system as part of it. But it was cross-platform. Your time's tracked in the cloud. So iPhone, iPad, Mac, I think Windows as well, maybe Android. So it seemed like a great idea. So if anyone knows the name of this cool thing, I would love to hear it.
Harvest.
Thank you. I think that was it.
That was it.
Do you know?
Thank you, chat room.
Index.
Nice.
Is it Intex? It suggested you look at your purchase history.
Well, I didn't buy. Well, see, that's the thing. I had it open. I was going. I clicked because it was free. I wanted to get it. And when I did this, sometime late at night, sometime it's like, oh, you have to update 3 brand new security questions for your Mac App Store account. And I'm like, oh, for God's sake, I want to download a free program. Ask me about the security questions later. So I had to come up with those 3 new ones and everything. But yeah, in the meantime, I accidentally closed the window and lost that the app.
If it's not,
but I think it was Harvest.
Get in touch with Jodamax. He'll tell you everything you've done. Even offline.
You don't know how true that is.
Scary.
You don't know how true that is. I've someone switched me onto Wunderlist this week as well, which is very good. Wunderlist is excellent. And you put it across everything, iPad, Mac, iPhone, the whole shebang, and it syncs. So you add one, it adds everywhere. So what it's done is I've got my list now with me when I'm down away working, and I've also put it on my wife's computer, which has got the same iTunes account. And then if she wants me to do something, she adds it on and it comes on my list wherever I am on my iPhone, iPad.
So I've checked and Harvest is the name. That is the name it's called.
Harvest, yeah.
Harvest. So does that mean that I have not broken my streak of cool things?
No, I think it's an unbeaten streak.
All right. Thank you, chat room. You saved me.
You put
5.
Well, you had a cool thing anyway. Michael thing is also available on iOS. I think it's on Android as well. I don't know it, though. And it's Mini Motors. Carl Madden put me onto this. Mini Motor Racing. And basically, it's a little tiny application where you race a car around a track. You don't do throttle control or anything. All you do is do steering wheel control using the steering wheel here on the the other side. There we go. Got to do it in reverse. And the physics of the car are absolutely brilliant. And you can upgrade and go... I'm trying to play this in reverse. There we go. You can upgrade and play and add to your handling qualities and that kind of stuff. And it's just brilliant. And it's £1.49, so it's not a lot. And it's great fun. Absolutely love it. And I've also got a great cover for your iPad, which has got a Union Jack on the back, which is great. £20 on eBay. Thanks to Aaron Gladen for putting me onto that one. Cheers. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Hart?
The usual place, twitter.com/syzygy, SYZYGY. But please don't write anything horrible.
No. Or you can if you like. Write what you like. Mr. Neighbour, where are you?
Generally on Clothhead HQ at the moment. And tomorrow night, I will be on Modern Warfare 3 on the Xbox in a clan name called BTN.
We've
if
got
anyone
our own
wants
clan.
To join me and show me how good they are compared to me, because I'm not very good and I'm literally rubbish. So if you want to join on Modern Warfare tomorrow night, Modern Warfare 3 on Friday night, the 18th, the clan name is BTN. We'll have some fun there.
Wife's out then.
Absolutely.
Kids are in bed. Up.
Kind of figured that one out, but somebody said it.
Excellent. Ms. Gray, where are you?
I'm on the Twitters also at Sarah Jane UK.
Thank you. And last, but my name is least, Mr. Lanigan.
EricLanigan.com and Twitter.com/EricLanigan, EricLanigan, member FDIC.
What?
Oh, you wouldn't get that, would you? Because you're in a different country.
My name is Ewan Rankin, EWENRANKIN on Twitter, at Ewan Rankin, and I'm also at British Tech News as well if you want to follow the network tweets. I've been trying hard not to put personal tweets up on that, but we also only need about 20 followers now to get us up to 1,000, and then when we do, someone's going to win a camera, I promise, absolutely. And if you'd like to give us some reviews in iTunes, please go and review all the shows, give us something, even if you want to write whatever you want, we're not worried about that, just make sure it's polite, that's all we ask.
Spread the word,
yes, get everyone listening to BTN. We'll be back again tomorrow morning. We've got the new show in the morning, then we've got the photo show at 2 o'clock with a new chap, David Dugdale's joining us from America, Arizona, I think. And then we've got the back show with Andy and Atco at 3:30. So bunk off work, get home early, crack a beer and sit and start the weekend right. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Good night.